Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? It's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality Radio. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. That's right. Let me say it again. Global Happiness Specialist. The show is heard all over the world. Not, I don't know, in every country, but I do have some fans. In fact, last week I had some emails from someone in a foreign country, which is really interesting. So thank you for sharing the show with your friends, neighbors, family, and thank you for just thank you for being part of the audience. For my new listeners, Rebecca L. Norrington, Global Happiness Specialist, what the hell does she think she is? What? Well, let me tell you something. This happiness thing, I take this happiness very seriously. And when I say happiness, I'm talking about traveling, journeying on this life with a foundation that's rooted in peace, contentment, balance, happiness, acceptance, trust, flow. You know what I'm talking about. You know the times when you feel your shoulders are down and you feel all is right with the world. And let me say that those moments come anytime. Your circumstances have nothing to do with how much peace you feel. What? That doesn't even make sense. Yes, peace, happiness, all are a practice skill. So when you practice, and let me say that there are a lot of things to practice. There are a lot of behaviors that we were programmed to believe that are true. And there are a lot of things to practice to eliminate. When I say eliminate, I'm talking about all of the behaviors that are going to subtract from your happiness. It's very, very simple. It's very simple. Happiness is a practice skill. And just like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, moment by moment practice, the better the results. And the question that you ask yourself, the question that I'm asking you is, are you ready to prioritize happiness? Because it has to be number one. It has to be number one. Push it right up all the way to the tippy top. When you make a commitment to wanting to feel, when I say feel, scratch the feel, wanting to experience more happiness. And again, this happiness defined, I define happiness by being able to be at peace regardless of what happens to you and regardless of what doesn't happen. Life is a roller coaster. It's, you know, come on, it's ups and downs and ups and downs. I don't have to tell you that. You know the truth. So it is a roller coaster, but with that roller coaster comes, just like building a house, there is a foundation. And so what are you rooted in? What do you practice? What you practice in every moment is going to determine how much happiness, how much peace you experience. It is a practice. Happiness is a practice. And the first part of the practice just starts by gradually eliminating all the behaviors, and I mean all of the behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. Some of the behaviors that are proven, there's no reason to argue with me, there's no reason to disagree, even though I had a lot of kickback from last week's show. Oh, my goodness. a lot of kickback from words are not powerful. Yeah, that was last week's show. Words are not powerful. What? Because the majority of the people, not the majority, but a lot of people believe that words are powerful. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, we were all taught that words are powerful. We were all programmed to believe that words are powerful. But when you allow words to make you feel a certain way, somebody, and especially someone else is spewing these words, someone else is saying a word, and now you're feeling a certain way because of a word, I'm here to tell you, take your power back. You are responsible for your feelings. You are responsible for your emotions. No, I know it's easy, and we were programmed to blame someone else. But I'm here to say that blaming other people for how you feel is just an illusion. So another thing that subtracts from happiness, along with blaming other people for how you feel, is comparing yourself to someone else, worrying. Another thing is the inability to change your belief, the inability to change your perspective, or to even see another perspective. See, the unhappiness comes from looking at a situation with just one perspective. And how many of you out there were taught to practice a ton of perspectives? You can look at the same situation, same circumstance, and have numerous amounts of perspective. But no, we're not taught to change our perspective and to find a new perspective. The other thing that subtracts from happiness is a lack of acceptance of others. I already said believing words have power, having attachments, noticing, oh, this is a big one, noticing what other people are doing. Getting in someone else's business always subtracts from your happiness. Unless you're in their business and you're admiring what they're doing and you're saying, wow, that's a great skill. I'd like to practice that. It's like following Michael Jordan and asking him for some pointers. So unless you're asking other people for pointers, but if you're looking at, now I'm getting way off on a tangent, if you're looking at other people and you're finding something wrong with them, that means you're in their business. Stop noticing what other people are doing. And I'm talking about you. You stop noticing what other people are doing and you will be happier. You will experience more peace in your own life. The second part of the practice is cultivating behaviors that have been established to add to happiness. And what are those? Acceptance of others and self. Trust and believe that everything that happens for a reason. I'm going to say happens for a divine reason. Don't take anything personally. Laugh out loud every day. Practice self-awareness. Humble your ego. Be yourself. Choose your focus, choose your perspective, and how about practicing being okay with uncertainty? Being okay with uncertainty. Woo, that's a big one. How can I be at ease? How can I be at peace? Not knowing, being okay with uncertainty. I mean, even just saying it, just saying uncertainty you know how you're walking on a tightrope. And uncertainty, yeah, you're a little wobbly. But the practice of being okay with not knowing and not trying to know, even living in the future, adds to your happiness. Because we all know that there's a lot of uncertainty going on right about now. Today's show, but before I get to today's show, I want to share that I am available for one-on-one personal retreats, family retreats. Just email me at rlnsignature@gmail.com. rlnsignature@gmail.com. And let's see. So contact me if you're interested in that. I know the website is not up yet, but who knows? It's coming. It'll be up one of these days. I definitely know that. So let me go back and just define my definition of happiness. Happiness is being able to be at peace, being able to vibrate, being able to have the energy of peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. That's happiness. That's my definition. And one of the things, listen, one of the things, well, let me just share this study real quick. And I've shared it a lot on the show. And it was about a woman. Her name is, let's see, because you can look it up too. What is her name? Hold on a second. Where's my paper? She was a hospice nurse. Her name is Bronnie Ware, B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware, W-A-R-E. And, yeah, Bronnie Ware, she's from Australia, and she was a hospice nurse when she conducted the study. And when I say hospice nurse, of course, all of her patients knew they were dying, whether they were dying in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, 6 months. They were in hospice, and they were on their way out. And she asked her patients, what are their biggest regrets in their lives? If you can imagine you're on your deathbed, it's going to be pretty easy to come up with your regrets. It's going to be pretty easy to come up with what you wish you could have changed. And one of the reoccurring, there were five, if you want to know the five most common regrets of the dying, you just Google Bronnie Ware, B-R-O-N-N-I-E Ware, W-A-R-E. And you can find the other ones. But one of the regrets is, I wish I had let myself be happier. When I say happiness specialist, when I say that, I really feel that that's what I was put on this planet to do, meaning how to sustain, maintain happiness regardless of what happens. And it's been a search of mine that has been decades in the making. And still, there's always something to do. Let me just let you know that there's always something to do with this practice. You're never finished practicing. There's always something to practice. There's always some kind of life. There's always some kind of curveball that life throws you. Today's topic is how to win the seventh game in the World Series of Life. I was having a conversation with my best friend, and I'm gonna say that this wasn't all my idea, because this was part of his contribution, and it was a very interesting contribution. I was looking back in 2018, and if you follow the show, you know my mother died in October 2018, and 2 weeks out after her death, guess what? I found out, which, you know, it was already suspect, but I found out that she left the family home to her handyman. That's right. She left the family home to her handyman. Now, if you can imagine, especially being a happiness specialist and everything I practiced, this was a very challenging time for me. And all of the things that I practiced, and let me just list, the practice of trusting, knowing that everything's happening for a reason, knowing that whatever life throws me, eventually but there is a purpose to it. It is serving me in some way, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it doesn't feel good, even if I'm brooding and I'm oh, how could this happen? And you know, all of the things you think about when life throws you a curveball, and everybody gets a curveball. Everybody gets curveballs. Some people get curveballs all day long. Sometimes I get curveballs all day long. So what do you do? What do you do when you get thrown a curveball? You go immediately to your practice. That's why it's very important to practice. It's just like being, when I say winning the World Series, the seventh game, you listen, you know that I'm a sports fan, less of a sports fan these days. However, there is, I want to talk about the World Series, baseball World Series. No, not the Super Bowl, not the NBA championship, the baseball World Series, the seventh game. Wasn't it a seventh game this year? I don't know, but I think there was a seventh game last year. But this is for the World Series, and you're playing in the seventh game. Now, one of the things that I have to share is, and don't tell anybody, I'm really not a baseball fan, but I love to watch the playoffs. I like the playoffs. I like the championship games. I really enjoy that because that is when you are front and center. That is when the great have to be great in the greatest, in the most challenging situation. The seventh game of the World Series, do you know you have to pull all of what you've practiced in, from your mental practice, from your physical practice? You're not going to, I know I'm going to be stating the obvious, but you're not going to be learning how to hit a baseball. All of your skills come into play in that seventh game. All of your skills. And with baseball, because I'm not a fan, there are what I do know that your best pitcher, let's see, I think on the Dodgers is it Kershaw? I'm not familiar, but I know that baseball teams have their best pitcher, a closer they call him, a pitcher that you put him on the mound. There's a high percentage that you're going to win that game because the pitcher is so good, and the batters aren't going to be able to hit off of him. That's called your star pitcher. It's star pitcher. Anyway, the best pitcher. Now, when baseball is a game of strategy, just like life, it is a game of strategy. And with that strategy, the manager of a baseball team, when you're in the World Series, and I don't know a lot about baseball, but I do know the basics. I know that the managers, it's a chess game. It's a chess game that the managers pit the pitchers against the batters, and it's a continual chess game until you get to the end, until somebody wins the series. And when I say a chess game, it's the same thing with this life. Listen, going back to the mother gifting the house to the handyman, during that time, let's just say that was a game one, or that was game two. It wasn't game seven. Life is number one, it's uncertain. We all know it's uncertain. But there is, even the people that are living in the caves, I mean, I'm sure they have challenges. Life is about challenges. And so when you have a strategy to life, when you have a strategy to get to the seventh game and win the seventh game, it all comes from what you're practicing, and it comes from what you are, the best pitcher against, a left-handed pitcher against a left-handed batter, a right-handed pitcher against a left-handed batter. In other words, there's so many strategies in all of the games, the seventh games if you're going to the World Series, to get to the seventh game. You've got to strategize before you even get there. And when I say a chess game, I mean it just like it is a strategy for your everyday life. How to remain peaceful, how to practice peace, how to pull up what you need in the moment. So here we go. What I needed in the moment in 2018 was, number one, is to let go of expectations. Let go of expectations. Number two, let go of trying to control something that was out of my control. Number three, practicing being okay with uncertainty. Do you realize, and let me say this, it was a year and a half later, that that the whole incident with the handyman settled, meaning now, okay, someone has the key to the house. In other words, getting the key to the family house was a year and a half later. In a year and a half, there was a game one, there was a game two, there was a game three, four, five, and six. And that seventh game is the finale, is when this particular circumstance is over. And I contend, hopefully I'm making myself pretty clear, I contend that that's what this life is about. Whatever challenge that you're going through, know that it's not about just playing the seventh game. It's about what is leading up to the seventh game. The game one, game two, game three. What are you doing in game four? Because sometimes you're going to win, and when I say win, these are air quotes, win and lose. Because it's really, there are no wins and losses. We are all winning. That is a perspective. Now, some of you are saying, well, it doesn't feel like I'm winning. It feels like this feels like crap. But when you change your perspective and you look at whatever challenge you're having and know, let me say this. This is how I look at it. This is a setup. That universe set me up with the information that, okay, your mother gifted the house to the handyman. Set me up with all of that. Set me up with that situation. Set me up with a year and a half. Set me up to wait. Set me up to question. Set me up to doubt the trust. Set me up to consciously be, I don't want to say depressed. It wasn't depressed, but sad. You know, now mother's dead, grieving that. Now I gotta fight with the handyman. And the story is, I didn't even have a chance to mourn. I mean, there's so many stories, but what came out of it? What came out of that year and a half? What came out of it is the seventh game. What came out of it is the practice of letting go of all attachments, detaching. Letting go of all expectations, and also trusting and surrendering to the universe's will, God's will. I'm not gonna get my way anyway. I mean, when I say my way, I'm talking about what my ego wants. I'm always gonna get what the universe wants for me, but what my ego wants? Oh, I have a list, which also brings me to something else. Preferences, practicing letting go of all preferences. That's a tough one, because now letting go of what team I want to win, letting go of what president I want to win, letting go of all of this. When I say that, the preferences, and I threw president in there because it's such a hot topic now, but letting go of all preferences adds to your happiness. Having a preference means that if something happens, you're not going to be happy because you prefer something else. So I know it's a hard practice, but it is a definite add to your peace and your happiness when you practice not having a preference. Now, I'm not saying not acting on anything you're inspired to act. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this staunch rooted in I prefer 80-degree weather. That's what I'm talking about letting go of. So this life experience is just like a seventh game in baseball. It's the same. So the managers, when I say putting up pitchers and it's a chess game, think of this life as a chess game. A chess game that you get a curveball here, you get a curveball there, you get a surprise move here, a surprise move there. But I guarantee you that the seventh game is going to be checkmate when you practice eliminating the behaviors that subtract from your happiness, and you add the behaviors that are proven to add to your happiness. I don't know if that was too many adding and subtracting, but anywho. The practice is, you know, the practice is also blind faith, blind trust. There's a knowing, there's a settling, knowing that you are supported, knowing that the universe is supporting you in all moments, even though it may not feel like it. Because that may not feel like it. So if we're playing a World Series game, it's the seventh game, you may lose game three. You may lose game six. In fact, if you get to a seventh game, that means you've lost three games. They've lost three games and you've lost three games. It's 3-3. So when I say losing a game, just know that that's what happens. There's no such thing as, even as much as I practice, there's no such thing as a smooth, easy ride. But what you practice gives you the ability to ride through it, ride the waves, be in the middle of the storm with your shoulders down, with being able to breathe deep breaths, being able to trust, blindly trust. Being able to be okay with uncertainty. This life is a strategy. How to get to the seventh game. How to win the seventh game. And I contend it's always a win. But to get there. So now the universe gives you a curveball. Now you're turning right. You thought you were going to turn left. Now you're going up a windy hill. And you thought it was going to be a flat land. That's what I'm saying. Getting to the seventh game. We're not going to know the outcome, but what we do know, and I know everyone that's listening knows this too. If you look back, or when you look back at things in your life that, damn, if I was designing this, I would have skipped this chapter. I would have skipped this part. If I was designing it, oh, this would have been skipped for sure. Why would I add that? Why would I add the handyman gets the house, a year and a half of legal problem, legal issues, hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees? Why would I add that? Why would I add that? But guess what? That's the only way. That was the only way that the universe thought that I would get to this point right now, letting go, surrendering, no attachments. And I have another story. I don't know if I've shared this story before, but moving from California to Oregon has changed me in so many different ways. And I remember leaving California, and people ask me a lot, why are you in Oregon? Why did you move? Well, right now it's very obvious why I moved to California. However, the answer is because I outgrew California. When I say outgrew California, there is a there is a reason, because I scratch all of that, because that's a story. How about this one? Whatever I'm doing, I'm supposed to be doing. Wherever I am, I'm supposed to be. And when you let go and you allow the universe to guide you and you allow the universe to be your own personal GPS, it is a freedom. There is an easiness. There is a balance. There is a calmness that is indescribable. So back to this Oregon. They're the only way. Now, I know I'm making a bold statement, but one of the things that I do not do in Oregon is I don't wear makeup anymore. I mean, I may wear lipstick, but if you have to wear a mask, well, you know, if you're inside, it doesn't even matter. But just not wearing makeup. And I'm saying that because when I was in California, I was not going to be caught dead unless it was the early 6 o'clock a.m. class that I taught. I'm not going to be caught dead without makeup. And because it was a very deep program. And when I say makeup, I'm talking about, you know, eyeliner and mascara and a little glow around the eyes. I'm not talking about full foundation and all that. But even just a little makeup, it was a feeling, it was a program feeling that I had to have my makeup on or else I didn't feel a certain way. I didn't feel I could go out. I didn't feel cute. I didn't feel beautiful if I didn't have my makeup on. And let me say this, the only way, I'm going to believe it, the only way that I got over that having to or feeling like I needed to wear makeup was moving here to Oregon. That was a whole setup, the whole story about how I feel. Can you imagine that vibration of not feeling as beautiful or as cute because I don't have any makeup on? See, that is a deep-rooted programming. And the whole moving to Oregon is a setup. I'm going to say it's a setup. It's a game one, game two, game three, game four. That is setting me up for a higher, when I say higher good, let me rephrase that, for a higher awareness, an awareness that it's not about wearing makeup that makes you feel good, dummy. It's not about the wearing the makeup that makes you feel good. It is an internal, it is a vibration of feeling good, whether I'm wearing makeup, whether I'm wearing a ball gown, or whether I'm wearing overalls. It is a state of mind that I did not get, could not get in all those decades I was in California. But moving to Oregon and being around people that, are you kidding? The more important issue is, how are we keeping the chickens away from the wolves, and how many cows can we milk today, and how to feed the cows, how to get the hay out, all of that is a priority here. I don't know about anybody, but we got a lot of farm ladies here, and these farm ladies aren't up here putting on makeup before they go out and tend to the farm. All of it is so rich and so good. That's what I want to share with you. Allow the universe to work its magic. And the questioning or the struggling with what is happening is all orchestrated, is all done by the ego. The ego loves to struggle with the present moment. The ego will always tell you that just because you lost three games, you lost game one, game four, game five, that it is just a horrible, horrible experience. It's a horrible ride. No, I'm here to tell you that it is a divine plan, and when you get into the plan and you trust the plan, life changes. It's letting go and allowing the universe to have its way with you, to be okay with the universe weaving its life, weaving its plan for you. But are you okay with trusting that? So the practice is surrendering. The practice is trust. The practice is knowing that everything is in divine order. And the practice is letting go of uncertainty. You know the outcome because I know that everyone listening has example or even more than one example of a time where you were going through something and you came out of it, maybe, who knows, a month later, 2 months later, even 5 years later, and saying, wow, if I didn't go through that, if I didn't experience that, then I wouldn't be the person I am today. I know it was rough. I know it didn't feel good, but you know what? I benefited from that experience. That's what I'm saying. So these games that come that are prior to game seven, and you're going to have a lot of game sevens. Your life is filled with game sevens, but it's the games before the game seven. What do we do with that? What do we do with those games? What do we do with the game two, game five, game six that we quote-unquote lost? And there are no losses because every game, let me just say this, every game that the ego wants to wants to label a loss, those players are finding, are getting information, more strategies, more things. Oh, this pitcher hits it this way, and I know I'm really not a baseball, but they get more information to play the game at a higher level than they did game one, right? The games are played at higher levels the more you play, meaning that now you get more familiar with the team. You know the team's nuances. You know the managers. You kind of get a little feel for it. It's the same with life. It's the same with the practice. Happiness is a practice skill. What you practice determines how much happiness you are going to experience on the journey. And when I say happiness, I'm talking about an internal peace of mind, peace in mind, a balance, a contentment, a knowing, a trusting, surrendering that everything is in order. Listen, this country is, love this country, proud of this country, and this country has a destiny also. This country has a destiny. And so letting go of thinking I know, letting go of my number one perspective, my only perspective, letting go of thinking I know what's best. I definitely know that the universe knows what's best. Do I believe that? Do I trust that? Yes, it is a practice. I have a few people in the queue. Hold on a second. Let me go to this caller. Yeah, if you want to speak with me, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619, and just press the number 1 if you have a question. Hold on a second. Let me go to this caller here. Area code 229. What is your first name, and welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Hi, yes, ma'am. My name is Melvin, calling from Georgia.
Hold on a second. I didn't hear that. Well, your name is what?
Melvin.
Hi, Melvin. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Hi, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I was
What's
calling
your question?
Are you doing a general...
Hello?
Yes, are you doing general?
What would you like to know? What would you like to know?
Oh, that's a lot of it. Two things bothered me, and it's, I need to get out of this apartment. I don't like it. I don't like the environment. And I feel like, you know, I've been calling police on the neighbors and other neighbors, and it's like they're ganging up on me. And I told the landlord, and she's like just talking to the wall. And to me, I just feel like she's in it too. Like she wants me to just pack up and move. Cause she's saying that there's nothing she can do. I'm like, the police officers that came by said I had to report it to her. So I don't know. So basically, I just want to, do you see me packing up and getting out of here after the holidays?
Well, let me say this, because if you've listened to the show and the people that call in, what I do, one of the things that I really feel strongly about is giving people the tools to, in other words, giving them a different perspective, giving them the tools to look at self and really reevaluate. Because all of the things that you just said, I know that there's one perspective. So I have a few questions for you. Are you ready to kind of Well, first of all, put your seatbelt on, okay? You know I'm a put your Yeah. Put it on. You know me. Put it on. So how long have you been in the apartment?
Since 2014.
Okay, so you've been there for a while. It's about, what, 5 years, 6 years?
Yes, ma'am. I had
and,
no...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
I have no good luck here. I feel like this apartment is possessed. I lost my son, and I got injured. Car wreck, and got injured on my job. Now I'm on disability. It seems like everything is going backwards since I moved here.
Mm.
There's nothing
so,
good.
So you're talking 6 years. You said, I heard exactly what you said. Everything has been bad. You feel like the apartment is possessed. Bad luck. And what I'm gonna say, and you have your seatbelt on. What I'm going to say is that, see, there are two types of people. There are two types of people. Well, there are probably three types. There's more types of people. But there's people that focus on what's wrong, and there's people that focus on what's right. Now, if And I'm saying this with all the love that I have, but you know I'm very direct and I don't, you know, like I said, seatbelt.
Yeah,
and so for me is if something was really, because I listened to everything you said and you really said you was possessed and it's not a good place to be. And my question to you is, get the hell out of there. Why are you still there? Because let me say this. There is a benefit that people get focusing on what's wrong and complaining. There is a benefit that people get pointing the finger, and I'm not saying you, but I'm just in general, pointing the finger at someone else or something else. It's because of their fault. It's because of their fault. It's that fault. Now, I could see it, but you've been there for 6 years. And so what have you done, which is the question, what have you done to change your situation? If I was in a house that was possessed and I, you know, did the whole luck, bad luck thing and pointing my finger at the landlord and everybody, all that, I'd be out of there.
Yeah, I mean, yes, ma'am. I am in the process, and then I want to get one of those government HUD houses, which I'm
okay.
A veteran, and I've got to wait for just maybe a couple of weeks so I can refile because of the COVID. And
okay.
I'm working on things. Hopefully it's free houses that I believe available that, you know, that I could move in one of them. And I talked to my landlord about this house, this apartment, and she don't believe me. And I know what I see, and I see what I know. And I'm not making this up. It's real, and I have burnt stage, have done cleansing, bath cleansing, stage cleansing, salt, everything, the whole nine yards. But
well,
it seems like...
I believe what you're saying. Well, let me say this. I believe you believe what you're saying. I'll say that. I know you. I believe what you're saying. And I'm not saying that what you're saying isn't right. But you know what else needs to be cleansed? Your perspective needs to be cleansed and your focus needs to be cleansed because it seems like you're focusing on everything that's wrong. So I want you to give me, and I want, because you it's very easy to say, okay, the landlord, the police, the the places possessed, all of those things that you listed. It's easy to do that, but I want you to list five things that are great about where you're living.
I just got a roof over my head.
There you go. There you go. See, I just got chills. I just got chills, Melman. I just got chills from you because now you're speaking the truth and now you're focusing on something other than what's wrong. So quickly, I love that you came up with that, and you came up with that quickly. So, you know, that tells me that the ego, see, the ego always wants us to feel bad. Wants us to feel bad about our life, wants to feel bad about what's happening, wants to feel bad about the circumstances. But you just very quickly overrode your ego, and then you said you have a roof over your head. And I got chills because what you said was the truth. So before I know things take time, and that's the other thing, having patience. I know things take time to pack up, to move, to find another place, first and last. It's a pain in the ass. But I want to say or suggest that when you are in that stage of moving and leaving, that you focus on the positive. You focus on you have a roof over your head. Give me two more things that are good. Give me two more things. I know you can.
I'm blessed to have a place to stay, and
there you go again. Another one, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I know something's good is gonna come out.
That's right. That's right. And see, this is the thing. That's right. And it's all about where you focus and who has control over what you focus on. See, you were, and I totally get it. You were, and I'm visualizing you in this hole. You know, they found Saddam Hussein in a hole, which is just really funny. You know, to me, I think it's funny. So, what goes around,
yeah,
what you put out in the world is what you get. Huh?
My son, he was over there when they when they got him out.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, that was, so I'm visualizing you in this hole, in this dark hole, and all you can see and all you focus on is the hole and the darkness, and I'm in this hole, and I'm here to tell you that you can focus on you can focus on something else. And not to say that, oh, you know, there's nothing, that you're not going through anything, but you can change your focus, you can shift your focus. And I'm going to give you, you know, you can shift your focus while you are transitioning or moving or getting everything or packing or whatever you do. But know that this practice takes action of shifting your focus. And there is a, you know, there's not just an addiction to drugs and alcohol and food and eating and spending and gambling. There's an addiction to complaining. There's addiction to focusing on what's wrong. So all I'm doing is I have my hands on your shoulders very gently, and I'm just giving you a gentle shake to tell you that you can choose your focus. Choose what's wrong, or you choose what's right. And then when you're choosing what's right, then you're acting, and then you're out of there. But if you continue to focus on what's wrong, I don't care if you get a new apartment or get a mansion on the top of a hill, you're still going to be focusing on what's wrong if that's what you practice in this moment. See, we take what we practice in this moment to all of our moments, to the future moments. So if you get out of there, you set up somewhere else, your focus on what's wrong is going to come with you. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. It does.
It's the way
I'm
going to ask you something else. And I know I've talked to you before. What do you laugh every day? Do you have things that you can laugh at? I'm feeling you, and you feel very heavy. There's no lightness. So are you able to laugh every day? Do you laugh every day? You know, that's a practice too. As silly as it sounds, it's a very good practice for the soul. When's the last time you laughed,
if I'm watching television or on the phone mm-hmm. talking to someone, and on the phone talking to someone is very rare, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm the baby of the family, and I have six sisters, and I have one brother now because I just lost a brother in June of this year. And
mm-hmm.
It was a shocker because he's supposed to have been coming home, so he didn't make it. But I see what you're doing, which is great is my thought process. My thought process need to focus on more positive things and weep about.
Now I'm getting chills again.
Negative things.
Now you're making me get chills again. And you know what? When you were saying that, see, you don't remember back in the day when there were albums, there were real albums. You know, you put it on a record player and you play the album, and then one album would skip and it would keep skipping and skipping and skipping, and you play again and again. You know what I'm talking about? Shout out to Craig Reed. But it kept skipping and skipping, and would play the same thing over and over and over. So that's all you're doing. You're in one mindset of what's wrong, folk talking about it, complaining about it, and you just keep repeating it, and you're just there. But see, you can get out of there, and I'm not saying not to do that ever, but I'm just saying to be conscious of what you are doing and where is your state of mind, because that what you were just saying when you called in on, it's just all. There's no light, and I really use the computer? Use the computer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I don't know what everybody's different with their humor. I don't know what your humor is about, but I would like you to go on YouTube and find some funny videos that you laugh at. One of the things that is really kind of funny is news bloopers. NEW news bloopers. You know how the news people all over the world, they make mistakes. News bloopers 2020, news bloopers 2019. Those are really funny. They're funny. They're from all different news anchors around the country, around the world, and they're making mistakes on camera, and it's pretty funny. So find something every day. That's going to be your assignment. Every day, my dear, you have to laugh. Please, you need to laugh. You need to lighten up and focus on and write it down. Write down what you are grateful for. Write down something that's positive every single day, even if you have to repeat it. Same thing. It doesn't matter. Just what you told me. You said, I have a roof over my head. I have a place to stay. It's all within your power to shift. Because you can't control anybody or anything else, but you can control what you focus on and your assessment of what you focus on.
Yeah, that's true, yes, ma'am. My thing is like this as well. It's like you got a hurricane coming right behind a tornado. And you got, after the tornado, it's like you got a tornado. and then you got a mudslide. And then after mudslide, you got a fire. You got a fire that's popping up. And
okay,
I have all this crazy shit coming. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind.
Coming one by one by one. And
mm-hmm.
when I feel like, okay, I see some positive, well, things are positive, and I feel gratitude. And next thing you know, basically what got me really tied up is my family, my sister, and my one brother. They don't want to have anything to do with me. They don't call. They don't come by. And when I do call, and when I do go by, I feel like the big black ball in the middle of the floor. And they didn't used to be that way. I haven't heard from none of them since my brother passed away in June. And I have five kids. One of my sons got killed right when I moved here. Well, he got shot, and he passed away in 2015, right when I moved in this apartment. Now, and then I'm hearing doorknobs and twisting, and I even took video of it. I'm like, and I told my landlord,
Let me stop you there because what you're doing is you're still focusing on all the thing that's wrong. I mean, I remember talking to you before, and it's the same complaint, and it's the same thing about other people and the sisters. So I really encourage you. I encourage you to shift your focus. That's going to be on you either. But again, people, when I say people are addicted to focusing on what's wrong. People are addicted to complaining. People are addicted to only sharing bad news. People are addicted to blaming other people for how they feel. Nobody can make me feel a certain way unless I feel like that already. So this is going to go back to you. I'm going to hit the ball back to you. Now, whatever you're going to do with it is on you, but there is a practice. Again, the being at peace is and focusing on what is good and focusing on what's serving you and trusting, and then asking for help. I say universe. Some people use the term God, higher power, source, energy, spirit. It doesn't matter what term you use, but ask the universe, how can I focus on what is going to serve me? How can I focus on being grateful? How do I, you know, you said a couple things right off the bat, and you said a couple positive things, and then you went right back to what's wrong, and the sisters and the brothers. And I mean, I remember you saying
months ago. I didn't mean it like. Yes, ma'am. I didn't mean it like that. I was just letting you know what's been going on in my life.
Right, the focus is, I'm gonna throw it back at you because you can change your focus and you can change your perspective. Nothing, your situation doesn't have to change. Your apartment doesn't have to change. Your job doesn't have to change. But you can change your perspective and look at the same things that you've been looking at in a different way, with different eyes. And it's totally up to you. I mean, it's really about doing the work. And see, when I ask people, do they want to be happier? Do they want to experience more happiness? Guess what? Everybody raises their hand. Who doesn't want to experience more happiness? Everyone raises. And then guess what? I give them the tool. I give them a present. I give them a package. And in that package, I say, in this package, is the solution to all of your problems. In this package, it answers to all of your prayers. In this package is going to be the biggest gift that you're ever gonna get. You know it's in the package, Melvin. You know it's in the package.
Yeah.
What?
Complaining.
No, it's not a complaint. What's in the package is a mirror. See, it's a mirror.
The mirror.
When I say everybody, and I'm gonna let you go, but call me anytime. Call me anytime, and I really appreciate you sharing with everybody. But see, what Melvin was talking about is so common. When I say you have the answers, you know, it's easy to blame. It's easy to blame other things, what's going on. But the truth is you have the power. You have the power to change your perspective. You have the power to change your focus. This blaming other people, blaming situations, blaming the reason why it's a blame game that people play. It's a programming too. It's not your circumstances. It's not the relationship that you do or you don't have. It's not who won the election or the price of gas or the weather. It's not your health or aches and pains of life. And it's definitely not money. It's not how you look. It's not how much you weigh. It's not your children, your parents. Your happiness, your inner peace depends on what you practice on a daily basis, what you focus on, what your perspective is. Perspective is a choice. You want to feel different during any challenge, my dear Melvin? You want to feel different during any challenge or any moment? You can. Look in the mirror and choose a different perspective. Elevate your consciousness. Grow. Be different. Be different than who you were last week, last month. Because I remember talking to you a few months ago, and it was the same thing. It was the same thing as far as the energy and the complaints about others. And I'm here to tell you that you have no one else to blame for how you're feeling or your focus but yourself. Ah! I told you to put a seatbelt on. And I'm saying that with love. I'm saying that with as much love as I can, and I'm, you know, giving you a virtual hug. But your growth and your perspective will dictate how much peace and happiness you're going to feel. The peace and happiness, when I say happiness is a practice skill, it is a practice. And so what are you practicing? What are you practicing? Only you can answer that. And I'm here to tell you that when I say give people a mirror, they drop the mirror and they go running the other way. It's not easy looking in the mirror for solutions. It's not easy looking in the mirror and say, well, what do I need to do? But let me say this one more thing before I close the show. When I have any kind of challenge, I mean, I practice this stuff all the time. I mean, come on. But when I have any kind of challenge and I'm feeling, oh, you said first there's a hurricane, then there's a tornado, then there's a mudslide, then you said there's a fire. So you're bringing about all of the things that are quote unquote wrong in your life. When that same thing happens to me, and trust me, I go through the same shit. I go through the same challenges everybody else. And when I get there, you know what the first thing I do is say, hey, I ask the universe how. Universe, how do I navigate through this? Universe, how do I find peace in the middle of the storm? Hey, universe, how do I relax? How do I practice trust more? Hey, universe, how do I let go of future thoughts? It's always, you always can ask the universe a how question. And guess what? You're going to get an answer. When you throw out a how do I, now I don't know when you're going to get the answer, but you always are getting the answer. You always get answered whatever you ask. Ask and you will get an answer. So trust me, I'm not up here trying to practice dragging this big suitcase on my back by myself. Hey, universe, help me out with this. That's really simple. And it is a practice. It is a daily practice. Happiness is a practice skill. And so the foundation, what are you rooted in? Are you rooted in trusting? Are you rooted in letting go? Are you rooted in knowing that everything that's happening is for a reason? Are you rooted in knowing that the universe is here to serve you, and everything that happens, it has the opportunity for you to even grow more? I share this analogy a lot on the show. It's one of my favorites. I remember when the World Trade Centers were up in New York, and I remember going all the way up to the top of the World Trade, and there were two of them. There was one that had the antennas, and the other one didn't. So I remembered going all the way up to the top and looking down from the top of the World Trade Center. I think it was 1999. Anyway, I remember looking down, and I remember seeing the Brooklyn Bridge. I could look down from the World Trade Center and look down at a bridge. I could see small planes flying. The view, the perspective, it was massive. Now, when I went all the way down to the lobby, the view isn't the same. The perspective is very limited. So what I'm sharing with you is, when you practice switching up, changing your perspective, altering it, I mean, a double take, a change of perspective, things change. Nothing has to change in your life for your energy and your vibration to change, or your energy and your vibration to shift. Nothing has to change. Absolutely nothing. But the practice is, I say that a perspective, when I say perspective, we can have 360 different perspectives on one topic. I say 360 because that's a full circle. But when you practice shifting your perspective to get to a place where, wow, that feels better than the perspective that I had. And the same thing with what you were just saying, Melvin. You talked about, I said, can you come up with something good about this apartment that you're living in that you say is possessed and all bad luck, doom and gloom? And then you said, well, at least I have a roof over my head. I have a place to stay. I got chills when you said that. And so that is the focus, as to focus on what's wrong, or you're focusing on what's right, focusing on what you don't want, are focusing on, wow, this must be serving me in one way. Because I'll tell you this. I know I said I was going to end the show, but I'll tell you this. Whatever is happening in your life, in my life too, it's supposed to be happening. And whatever's not happening, that's not supposed to be happening also. So whatever is happening is supposed to be happening. It's up to us to either surrender and accept it, and know that there is, and trust that there is a reason for it. There is a higher plan. There is a plan, because that is a practice that is going to bring a lot of peace to you and myself. That's what I do. All right, universe, I trust. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for letting me experience this. And I trust. And thanks for nothing. Oh, I curse them out all the time. But I do know the bigger picture. So back to the World Series, the seventh game in the World Series. And life is a lot of seventh games. And we're all set up. We're all on this different individual ride. When I say different, we are as different as our fingerprints. So know that you are unique. You are so different. And this is a custom ride for you. So what Melvin is going to experience, I'm going to experience something different. And we're all different, but I'll tell you the running theme is something is there that's going to serve you. Something is there that's going to elevate your consciousness. Something is there that's going to expand your awareness. Something that is happening is there to empower you. You either believe it, trust it, or you don't. Woo! Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I know my website is not up, but who knows when it's going to be done. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, I have an Instagram handle, which is Reality Spirituality. I do have a few YouTube videos, and I know just a few of them on YouTube. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, the one I'm writing now, who knows when the universe has plans for that to be finished, it's called Program for Unhappiness. Program for Unhappiness. That's going to be out sometime in 2021. But until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. It is about the practice. It is about the daily, moment-by-moment decisions and choices. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with your host, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment just reflects on what you're practicing. Have a great conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Reality
Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you're going to feel good now.
Get real.
Reality
Spirituality.
Time to get real.